it's E.B. Moss, and this is episode 14 of Insider Interviews, the place where hopefully you get a little inside scoop about the media, marketing, and advertising industry. This episode was a little bit spontaneous, and you'll hear that it's a little bit pieced together. Here are the pieces. I did a lot of rehearsal this week because I was invited to be a moderator for the RAIN Global Podcast Leadership Summit, and of course, like everything, it had to go virtual. But really great was the fact that the president of RAIN, Brad Hill, stuck around after one of our rehearsals and chatted with me about his experiences and some of his podcast prognostications. So we chat about the industry in general. I'll also drop in a little audio that I grabbed from the panel session itself. Now, it's not the best audio quality, but I wanted to get you something because I wanted to publish this podcast on time. I do encourage you to go to rainnews.com. That's Kurt Hansen's RAIN radio and internet news site, where they will likely incorporate a lot of the recordings from the overall summit that had 8 terrific panels. So stay tuned. This is a little bit with Brad Hill about podcasting, RAIN, and advertising. Thanks for listening. So this has been quite a hectic week in a good way. I was invited to moderate a panel for the RAIN Podcast Global Leadership Summit. And it not only took some rehearsing on my part, but it took a little practice on the part of the folks at RAIN, including the illustrious Brad Hill, who has really been organizing the whole thing. So, Brad, forgive me for putting you on the spot here, but tell me what it's been like to convert to a virtual event.
Yeah, thanks, EB. Great to have you, by the way. Thank you for calling me illustrious, undeservedly so. And it certainly has been a blast of newness for RAIN. We are very experienced at putting on what you might call real-world events or non-virtual events in cities on 3 continents. And we had 6 of them planned for this year. We pulled off one of them in early March, but had to cancel 5 events. So it was time for us to turn to virtual alternatives. We looked at many platforms. There were pluses and minuses in all of them, including Zoom. It obviously is a good workable platform, so we've enjoyed it. But the learning curve has been substantial. You know, we tried to pull it off with as few hitches as possible, and there are many features that had to be mastered. So we put together a production team of 4 people, and we practiced among ourselves and with some virtual happy hours where we invited guests. You were at 1 or 2 of those.
Yes.
And that gave us practice with different size groups, and I really recommend that if anybody is getting into Zoom for the first time. It's all about learning the features, of course, and then practicing them.
And I will have to say that while I did have to be my OB, bring my own booze to your practice happy hour networking event, it was really great to see some of my cohorts and, of course, you virtually. And that part of connecting has always been really important. This also, because it is a global leadership summit, gave you the opportunity to, I think, get many, many more attendees, particularly international attendees, than you anticipated, right?
Well, then we would be able to get if it weren't a virtual event.
Exactly right, yes.
So when we produce an event in London, for example, it's mostly UK with some share of continental European attendees. But here we're producing this all in our homes, and we do have attendees from around the world and speakers too. That's another reason we wanted to go global with it, was to take advantage of that. So we had nearly 500 people registered for the event. And yeah, I can't give you an exact breakout of how many were not US based, but it was pretty substantial.
And we were talking about how the last time we all came together at a RAIN event was basically the last event before lockdown. Mm-hmm. And that week, there were quite a few attendees at the New York Podcast Summit then. And the day before that, I'd been at the Work by Work podcast event, and Ira Glass had been there, and a lot of folks who had come over to the RAIN event the next day. And one of the panelists, in fact, had tested positive for COVID-19. So Ira had shaken his hand and wrote to everybody that he had had to quarantine for 2 weeks. So that was the kickoff was for me, was the last event we all went to was yours in March.
Yeah, that was March 4th. And, you know, we were just beginning to get our heads around what this was. We really didn't know how enormous it would be. And I remember, I'll tell you this, this is not to my credit, but I'm going to tell you this story. We, Kurt Hansen, my business partner and the founder of Rain, and I walked on stage to open the event. James Cridlin was our MC, but Kurt and I delivered opening remarks. And during that time, we established the event as a safe space for people who didn't want to shake hands. And we demonstrated some other ways of greeting.
And I remember.
Yes, it was fun. And we just wanted to make that clear that nobody should feel obligated to shake hands or that it would seem strange if somebody didn't extend their hand.
Can you describe what some of your alternative methods were? I remember perfectly.
Yes, well, there was the elbow bump. That's my personal favorite. And Kurt had some weird kind of foot tap that he demonstrated on me and practically pushed me off the stage. So that was amusing. So I delivered this, and then the first panel was waiting off stage to come on. I walked off stage, shook every hand backstage because, you know, I hadn't put it all together yet.
Yeah.
Even after I had just delivered those remarks.
Well, as they say, it takes 21 days to form a habit, and we were only a couple days in to the fist bump and the elbow bump and the leg kick.
21 days? I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know that that's true. I haven't managed to do my sit-ups in 5 months of being at home and swearing I would stick to that habit, but... Yeah. Anyway,
maybe today.
Yes.
Be your first.
So tell me again, what panels you're most intrigued by that are part of this lineup?
Well, all of them. We have 8 sessions. I won't rattle through all of them. But the first one we put together was the most cross-continental of them, I think. It is Public Radio Podcast Initiatives. And so we have NPR, we have the CBC from Canada, we have BBC from the UK, and we have ABC Audio, which is the Australian public radio network. So that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, this globe-spanning panel of public radio executives talking about podcasting. That's fun. And we've got research from Tom Webster, who is arguably the biggest celebrity in podcasting. I hope he hears me say
Webby.
That. And he'll give us some data. And the two Jeffs, Jeff Fidler and Jeff Ulster from Canada, delivering a different set of data. And your panel, looking forward to, of course, that's going to be an invigorating conversation, I'm sure.
Okay, cue the insert from the actual podcast summit. I grabbed a little bit of audio. Don't tell Brad, but I think he'll be okay with it because Lex and Dave were both pretty brilliant, and I wanted to share maybe 4 or 5 minutes of what they had to say. Lex talks about having to sometimes sell against paid social when he's pitching podcasting, very interesting. And Dave talked about projections and how they're holding up for ad budgets overall, despite a global pandemic. And then also things like new advertising categories, DR versus awareness advertising, etc.
In the podcast advertising monetization and engagement landscape, Art19 and TargetSpot. Representatives from those companies will discuss the evolving podcast advertising technologies and standards, possibilities and expectations that are transcending borders around the world. The Chief Revenue Officer of Art19, Lex Friedman. Next, Digital Audio Strategist and Sales Director at TargetSpot, please welcome Dave Sasson. And to moderate, one of my favorite moderators who, in fact, I feel drawn into telling this anecdote. EB, I'm sure you remember this as well. It was a couple of years ago at our New York event, the Podcast Business Summit, when we were almost preempted by a gigantic blizzard in New York.
Yes.
And speakers couldn't come. We didn't learn about this until that morning. Obviously, it was a very tight spot to be in. And I remember the moment when I knew, EB will do it. And that was so great. So thanks again for doing that, and thanks for being here today. This is E.B. Moss, the founder and podcaster of Moss Appeal. Take it away, E.B.
Thank you. So exactly. That was a nice introduction. And I'm so honored, as always, to participate here. Anything Rain does is always great. And Lex, so in the scheme of things, with you really focused in on podcasting, what are the kind of media categories that you're selling against? And I don't know, like paid social, or what are the differences, and how are you positioning podcasting as a win?
You know, the entire time I've been in podcasting, when people ask who my biggest competitor is, I've always said Facebook, because that's where brands and advertisers think about putting their dollars first. I think that you're exactly right, Evie, to mention paid social, because that's a lot of what we're trying to recreate the benefits of on the targeting side, right? And R19 is far from the only company in the space doing this, but, you know, the benefit of being able to tell advertisers you can reach consumers who are listening to podcasts, consumers who are really hard to reach elsewhere, right? If they're streaming TV and streaming music, they're not getting exposed to ads anyway. If you're a brand that's still comfortable advertising on Facebook, which more and more brands aren't, you know how fast people can scroll past ads on their timelines right now. I spend roughly 0.2 seconds looking at it. When you can reach people in podcasts, the host read ads are magical and have a wonderful effect, but they lack that piece that advertisers love about Facebook or about other paid social, right? Where you can say, I know exactly the kinds of people I want to target. If you want to reach men, and you target a show that has 55% of its audience is male, 45% of that spend is wasted. But when you mix in the targeting piece, we trade out the host read piece, but we can eliminate all that wastage. We can know that we're targeting exactly the kinds of people you want to reach. And I think that's where we kind of go head to head with paid social, in an environment where we know listeners are completionists. We know Tom would tell us that they're going to get all the way through the episodes. And we know that they're really good at paying attention to the ads and not skipping them. We have years and years of both VR performance advertisers and brands who have shown again and again that people are paying attention. So I think we stack up pretty well against paid social, paid search, and that sort of stuff.
All right, good news. Just to keep it to the treetops and, you know, speak to some of the news a little bit, there was a ranker that came out, I think just recently, from Magellan AI, that the top 10 podcast advertisers of last month had like 6-7-figure budgets. But interestingly, exactly a year ago, half of them weren't even buying podcasts yet. And so that's progress. And then we had this pandemic thing. And I know that this is one of Dave's favorite stats. So, Dave, I'm going to ask you to explain.
Yeah, when you're talking about everything that's gone on the past few months, and we're still seeing, I believe, the IAB calling for 15% growth this year when it comes to podcasts, I think that's really exciting. That says that there is an accessibility, there are KPIs being delivered here when it comes to podcasting, and that hasn't changed. So if that's the stat that you're referencing, yeah, I mean, I think that then we're going to go back and look at 2021, you know, and perhaps see numbers that rebound in the 30%+ growth area. So that tells me that there are certainly an increasing amount of companies that are interested. There's certainly the content that is available too. And I think there's the categories that we're seeing are starting to expand too. Of course, you see DTC-driven retail, financial services too. But it's interesting to see some of the other things that are kind of cropping up on the horizon as well.
So the listening categories and the advertising categories have shifted a little bit, as you said, news, healthcare kinds of things. What about in terms of DR versus awareness?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's the thing that we're most excited about, is to see awareness becoming more of interest. And even in recent weeks, I've had some requests where clients have wanted to look more at awareness-based campaigns and what podcasting can do from that. And I think it speaks to the audiences and being able to look at top-line IAB categories, being able to target as we can, and really being able to aggregate that audience. So it's a long-tail scenario. I think it just speaks to how much great content there is available.
Brad, this was free to register for, which is great with, you know, massive unemployment rates. So I, for one, thank you as well. Will this be available in recorded format for those who didn't manage to make it live?
I am recording it, both locally and in the cloud. So assuming one of those works. And
with all that practice you did.
I know, but yes. So I'll probably break it up into panel sessions and sprinkle them out into articles on Rain News is probably the way I'll do it.
Yeah, that's great. I've been reading some great things there, of course, and I highly recommend Rain News as a source of information, and certainly because people who listen to insider interviews are in media marketing and advertising for the most part. Hopefully they already know about this as a great resource. One of the things that Tom Webster has been sort of touting a little bit on the side is that he thinks that there's room for, let's call it the PAB, the Podcast Advertising Bureau, and more of a dedicated consortium to promote podcast advertising. What are your thoughts about that?
On the face of it, I think that's a good idea. I haven't read what he's written in particular. I do notice that podcasting is beginning to formulate trade groups with different missions. So there's the Podcast Academy,
yes,
which I think Hernan Lopez of Wondery was the real
yes.
force behind that, and Rob Greenlee of Libsyn is the executive director of that. And there's a board of directors and has a growing membership, and I think their main program is going to be podcast awards. So similar to the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences and the Oscars. I think that's the model there. I'm not sure what Tom really has in mind, but I think any kind of advocacy trade organization that promotes the unique marketing values of podcasting is a good idea. We try to do that with the Podcast Business Summit that is really targeted to advertisers and buyers, and about half of the attendees are made up of agency buyers in New York. So that's our March event in New York that we managed to do this year. So I'm just bringing that up again to say that we're really aligned with the idea of bringing buyers and sellers together in the podcast category and lifting everybody's boat. So Tom is brilliant, and whatever he's got going in his head about that, I'm all for it.
So just to kind of wrap things up, since I put you on the spot, as I said in the beginning, given that there's so much content about this space via Rain, and you must read all of it, what is most intriguing to you now? What have you either read about or have heard about that you think is new and next and really refreshing? And I'll tell you one if you tell me one.
I think in the refreshment department, since I love podcasts and love audio, it really is the growing sophistication and professionalism of podcasting and the inventiveness. I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts during the course of a week and cannot get to ones that I love dearly just for lack of time. So when it comes to what's most refreshing, it is this bounty of tremendous audio content to listen to.
What's next in terms of podcasting and what's coming to the market?
Well, I think the consolidation of podcasting and the money flowing through it, the institutional money and the land rush that's happening in podcasting is really the headline story week by week. Spotify, for sure. SiriusXM, for sure.
And their acquisition of Stitcher.
And their acquisitions, yeah. Uh-huh. Amazon a little bit. Apple a little bit. You'd think Apple would be more of a frontline player here, but it's really, it seems to be Spotify and Sirius this week anyway.
Right. So I promised that I would share one. And in full transparency, I was so taken by this product that I signed on to rep it out of sort of love and commission only. So I heard about this last year, the product called Guide, GIIDE.FM. And while it's not just for podcasting, it enables all audio to be kind of hyperlinked. This is to me the coolest thing because via the app that any media company can embed on their site or into their own listening app, Guide enables you to do anything like share a 200-page PDF, to check someone's LinkedIn profile, to tweet a quote, to save a comment, to share an image. It's astounding to me. So it's really kind of creating that multimodal experience. I sound enthusiastic because I just think that it is a differentiator from kind of linear layback listening to audio to more engaging. But you don't have to engage when you don't feel like it, because that little PDF will be there when you go back into that audio file, and now you're ready to download it. Now you're ready to, you know, share that quote. So I think it's fascinating. So
this sounds impressive and intriguing. I'll look at it. It's get a sense of how it works. Yeah, and send me a press release.
I will. It was founded by a woman too, Allison Kent Smith. So I've been really, really enjoying kind of evangelizing that. So thanks for giving me the time on my own show.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I haven't really mentioned it before, so yeah. Cool. Well, great. Brad, well, thank
it's
you.
It's been lovely chatting with you.
Yes, you as it well, so is. Spontaneously. And you know, I have a feeling it's because you're an audio guy from way back that I don't think there's going to be any edits to this. So thanks for making my job easier.
You're welcome. I hope so.
Perfect. Well, I hope you got some good inside scoop from this episode of Insider Interviews with me, E.B. Moss. And I also hope that you'll rate, review, subscribe wherever you download your podcasts. You know the drill. Apple, Stitcher, Google, iHeart. Thanks again for listening.